Maybe we can just take a breath here. And, you know, this case obviously is very complicated, but I did want to get your take on the data with PARP inhibitors. Bottom line, we have two approved. What are the key phase three data that fed into that approval? And what's it mean in terms of how you approach patients and also how you test patients?
It's interesting. We participated in the phase three clinical trials with talazoparib, but I've also given quite a lot of olaparib. And in terms of the trials themselves, you know, two phase three trials with some differences, but not huge, treating patients who had germline BRCA1 or 2 mutations in the metastatic setting with either the PARP inhibitor or treatment of physician choice with the selection of chemotherapy agents, both showing a doubling essentially of response rates and improved progression-free survival. You know, the doubling of response you really see in clinic. I mean, you give these patients who don't have platinum-resistant disease, that was key for both of these trials, but you know, you treat the patients and they respond rapidly. I mean, it's a very, very quick response, symptomatic improvement. And it lasts a reasonably long time compared to chemotherapy for triple negative disease, but not long enough, you know? I mean, so if you have response, the duration, you know, median duration in the 7-month-ish range, you know, the patient's tumors develop resistance to these PARP inhibitors. So they were pretty well tolerated, with cytopenias being the most common toxicity, some nausea, which we see with PARP inhibitors and is really important to control dose reductions, treating with nausea medication. I use sometimes the antipsychotic drug olanzapine for that kind of nausea because, you know, you don't want to be nauseated continuously on an oral medication. Dose reduction for cytopenias and then anemia sometimes can be a big issue. It's difficult to compare the two agents in terms of toxicities because they were two trials, you know, two parallel trials. You can't really do cross-trial comparisons. So we don't know very well how to compare the two drugs. But I think the one thing we've learned from the Olympia trial with olaparib from a subset analysis, which, you know, we hope to see an update for, was recently published actually, was looking at overall survival where, you know, somewhat disappointingly, there was no difference in overall survival comparing the PARP inhibitor to chemotherapy. But if you looked at the patients who were treated in the first line setting in a subset analysis, it looked like there was a bigger difference in overall survival. And that's actually resonated a lot with me because if you look at mechanisms of resistance in patients who have germline mutations to PARP inhibitors, where you see these, you know, sort of acquired acquisition of function of DNA repair, you actually correct the deficiency of DNA repair as a mutation. And then there are other mutations as well. You know, we think about triple negative disease where we see this plasticity and more resistance as you go down lines of therapy. It makes perfect sense that that would apply for PARP inhibitors, so that using the drugs earlier makes a lot of sense in the first line setting, depending on what your options are, or second line setting. And that's where the interest in maintenance is. Of course, you know, we're waiting for results from the Olympia trial, which is using the PARP inhibitor olaparib in the adjuvant setting. And then we saw this really intriguing data with talazoparib in the neoadjuvant setting in only 19 patients from Jennifer Litton from MD Anderson, where the pathologic CR rates were really astonishingly high from just getting a PARP inhibitor as a single agent if you had a germline BRCA mutation. So I think where that puts me is that, you know, I want to test patients who have metastatic triple negative disease for sure. Most of the patients have already been tested because we have NGS, as we have talked about. We get the germline testing in some ways an early look. Younger patients are generally tested in the early stage setting or right away when they come in with metastatic disease. So we know if we can use these agents. We're exploring greater use across other germline mutations and somatic mutations, although we don't have data yet. Even looking at ctDNA or plasma to look for somatic mutations is a fascinating new area of exploration.